It's time to turn the spotlight on local, national, and international affairs. Plus some goss and scandal. And here's the man that does that so well, Mitchell Dye.
Good morning and a big thanks to the guys next door for a fantastic edition of the Wake Up Geelong program. They'll be back next Monday morning from 9 o'clock. I've got a fantastic program lined up for you today. There's lots to talk about, including the incredible weekend of sport. I mean, Roger Federer going on to win 18 Grand Slam titles, and what a fantastic final that was. We'll discuss it in the second hour. And also the Cadell Evans road race that occurred over the weekend. Some fantastic pictures in the paper on that. But first of all, I want to talk about a story from RMIT University in relation to the safety of Wi-Fi networks and the fact that a lot of people seem to sign on to public Wi-Fi networks and they seem to take security for granted. And I'm joined on the line by Dr. Ian McShane, an expert in this area. Good morning to you.
Good day, Mitchell.
Thank you very much for being with us. First of all, what is the danger of signing on to a public Wi-Fi network?
Well, public Wi-Fi networks very important, increasingly important parts of our communication system, but they're probably the least secure internet network that we use. And while they're incredibly useful and convenient, there are things that we better not to do on public networks, such as financial transactions and work-related transactions. That might be better done on more secure cellular networks or indeed at your work or home internet. So the specific dangers are fairly low incidence but very high impact actions, such as people setting up dummy Wi-Fi networks that might have an address that looks suspiciously like a legitimate one and then being able to hack into your data, just general data interception. If you're not quite sure of the network that you're on, and you're not taking specific security precautions, then it's better not to do sensitive transactions over public networks.
I suppose free Wi-Fi is very high on people's agenda and want list. You know, if you go overseas and you see free Wi-Fi network and you don't have any other way to connect to the internet, you're probably likely to connect. And even if you're in a shopping centre and it says shopping centre free Wi-Fi, you would probably connect to that network without thinking twice, wouldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And I use networks all the time. But it's a question of what you do on those networks. And it's probably important to say that some networks are more secure than others and that you can take measures to make your data transmissions more secure. For example, and this is the case with Geelong City, local municipal authorities and city governments are very active in the provision of public Wi-Fi, and you know, they deal with reputable providers and take security measures and so forth. They're pretty good, reliable, robust networks, and it's fantastic to see that kind of addition to our local public infrastructure. But I would still suggest that people don't do what we found our survey respondents do, at least a third of them, and conduct credit card transactions over open public Wi-Fi networks.
So would you rule out conducting any sort of financial transaction over public Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I think it's better not to. And sometimes it's good to think about these things in terms of the physical world. You know, you lock your front door when you leave your house in the morning. There are certain security precautions you take in your physical world existence, and you've just got to transfer that mindset to the digital and the virtual world. I would not do public financial transactions over public Wi-Fi. I'd save that for either encrypted cellular networks, or you know, I'd do it at home in my circumstance.
Are all cellular networks encrypted? So if you turned off Wi-Fi and went over to 4G, just to quickly make that transaction, would that be a viable option?
Yes, they are more secure and they are encrypted, and they use it. A different mode of encryption, and that's a good way to do it. Sometimes, of course, as our mobile devices get more sophisticated, you can be a little uncertain as to what network you're on. Mm. For example, Adelaide has a fantastic public Wi-Fi network in the centre there, which can flip you over from your 4G network onto their Adelaide Free. Now, That's fine. It's incredibly convenient, and it's a really interesting development in the digital communications world. But it's a question of just being a little bit aware of what network you're on. Know your device. Be familiar with the capabilities and setup of your device. Keep your software up to date, and just be aware of what network you're on. And as you say, you can flip back and forth. Lots of people do. Quite a number of our survey respondents in the survey we conducted on the use of public Wi-Fi had very low or indeed no data allowances in their mobile plan. Mm. And they're pretty heavy users of public Wi-Fi. So use it for internet browsing and data downloading and so forth, but don't use it for financial transactions.
Yeah, I think in Australia, our mobile data would have to be some of the most expensive in the world, and that's probably what forces people onto public Wi-Fi in the first place.
Oh, indeed, that's very true. We have a bit of an obsession with caps and caps on our data plans and so forth. Mm. I think that that's a very good point. It's a bit of a conundrum. I think that if the mobile companies were a little bit more generous in terms of their pricing and their plan offerings, then some of their customers may not be so exposed to security risks in the public Wi-Fi network.
And two very brief technical questions before we let you go. If you use SSL, you know, the HTTPS, it's supposedly more secure.
Yes.
If you're connecting to online banking, does that make it any more secure over a public Wi-Fi network?
It makes it more secure than using a simple HTTP. Sites, and in fact you'll find all banks are now HTTPS using SSL. So that's that. If you see a padlock up in your URL line, you know that that's a more secure network, but you still are at risk of having your data transmissions intercepted through a public Wi-Fi network. The data may be encrypted, but it can still be intercepted. But use the more secure protocols. We found that about 70% of our survey respondents weren't quite sure of what HTTPS was, which I thought was a bit of a concern. Also a bit of a concern for employers too, because we found that over a million Australians were conducting work-related activities over public Wi-Fi networks, and that's, you know, so it's not simply a matter for personal consumers, it's also a business issue.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you send one email and that could have very interesting information in it if someone were to intercept it. The other question is, what if you have to enter, you know, a password to access that Wi-Fi network? Does that make it encrypted? Because I was in Asia and the same Wi-Fi network had two options. You could either get into the just open one, or you could get into the one where you had to enter a password that was made public, but it said if you use that option, it's more secure.
It may be, without knowing the specifics of that network, but generally a password might simply provide you with access to the network. It may not guarantee that it's encrypted, and indeed the password may be shared amongst many people. So again, it's about the specifics of the network. It can also be very difficult finding out exactly what you are being offered in terms of the terms and conditions of the network. So we had a look at some of those, and you know, your listeners will be very familiar with terms and conditions that you have to read through to access, you know, online services.
50 pages.
That's right, in one famous example. But even if you want to access a public Wi-Fi network, our first prize went to a network offering where you had to read 6,800 words and read and digest and understand in order to agree to the terms and conditions and access the network. Well, people simply aren't going to do that. You know, they're going to just check the box and move on. And really, you know, we have to ask the question of whether the public Wi-Fi providers in those instances are just protecting their own back, or whether they are looking to genuinely inform the users of the network.
One thing that I think is interesting is how companies are using the, I suppose, sweetener of public Wi-Fi to get lots of information, like you have to enter your email address for some of them, your age, what postcode you come from. It may not be 100% accurate information that you're entering. They've got no way of checking that. But they know people want public Wi-Fi, and they're collecting information, and I suppose that information is just as open to interception as anything else.
Oh, too true, Mitchell, yes. And you're quite right. It's the data that's of real value. The network is of convenience to the consumer, but it's the data behind it that the network providers are really interested in, you know, commercial providers and in particular airport shopping centres and so forth. And so I guess as consumers we make choices about what kind of personal data we're prepared to hand over. In some instances, of course, you can simply fudge it provide data that gets you access to the network that mightn't specifically identify you. Some consumers may be quite happy to have in-store offerings and so forth made available through, let's say, a large shopping centre network. It's really about informed choice.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for being with us this morning. I think you've given some really important information to everyone, but I suppose the main piece of advice would be just to double-check what information you're actually sending, and if you have to do a banking transaction, maybe not the best to do it over public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's right.
Good on you. Thank you very much, Dr. Ian McShane there from RMIT.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.